This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid Gaming Hall. Frankly, Kentucky, there he is, our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen's going to have Zach Cohen here join the program in just a little bit, break down the NBA as it has now been put to bed for the year. We do have the NBA draft coming up here in just over a week's time, so we'll talk about all things basketball with Zach Cohen. Going to get to Major League Baseball, our Daily Diamond coming up, and of course, our best bets here on the program before we say goodbye. But let's talk some football, American and otherwise, in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
We got four on the docket in the World Cup today. Spain is going to be taking on Cape Verde. We're going to have Belgium taking on Egypt, Saudi Arabia against Uruguay. And Iran has taken on New Zealand. The Americans, if you're wondering when Team USA will get back out there on the pitch, that'll be Friday against Australia. So we have all week to get ready for game number two of the World Cup. Jensen, what are you looking for today?
Yeah, we get Group H and Group G underway today. And again, here at high noon, I believe, in Atlanta. We get Cape Verde against Spain. Now, for those that are just playing catch up here, Spain and France, the two short shots to win the World Cup before it started, and totally agree with where those odds are. I have seen, Dave, through these first handful of days in match play, when you have such a decided favorite, outside of Germany taking to Curaçao, and Curaçao was a debutante, first time in, so this was as big a mismatch on paper as we have. I know the money will look that way right now. Spain, a $14 favorite, laying 2.5 on the goal spread here. I would have to believe, and I am very much in favor when you get these bloated spreads, especially for teams that are starting with the group favorite, they're going to kind of pack it in, because the difference this year, Dave, is you have eight teams that are going to be third place qualifiers, and the goal differential ends up coming in massively. So I don't think Cape Verde has delusions of grandeur here that they were going to beat Spain. So I took an elevated alternate goal spread. And again, a reminder for DraftKings customers out there, there is a 50% daily boost on pretty much any bet. And so I took +3.5 minus $1.22 for Cape Verde to be able to cover here. I think Spain will win going away, but I don't think that they're going to expend a lot of energy in the second half here. I think Cape Verde will, as they say in soccer parlance, Dave, they're going to park the bus, and they're going to try and keep this to two goals, if not three, so that the goal differential doesn't eliminate them after match number one. Moving forward at 3:00 Eastern, this is in Seattle, one of the hotbeds for you MLS fans out there. So I would imagine it is going to be a packed house there where the Seattle Seahawks play the American football version. Belgium and Egypt. The Red Devils here for Belgium are definitely the side I want to back. I did find $1.70 on the money line there at DraftKings. Again, this is another kind of, I hesitate to say dark horse, because they've been a high-class organization on the international stage. Egypt with Mo Salah, for those of you out there that watch a lot of Premier League soccer, of course, one of the stars of Liverpool, but probably not for much longer. I would have to believe that this could still be a close game, but I would have to also back Belgium. I think they are the better side here, and I think they get it done in regulation. The one that people are going to have their eye on is probably going to be Uruguay and Saudi Arabia. I think this is in the Uruguay side. That's the one club you look at. And remember, Brian Dunseth joined us last week to kind of handicap maybe some dark horse candidates. This was the squad in Uruguay that he really looked at as potentially one that could cause some chaos. Not to say they're going to win the group, but it's a talented group. I think they do win. And I took a little parlay play here, Dave. I did Uruguay parlayed with the alternate over 1.5. I think they can get it done here, two or more goals, and that could be the side to win it. So that's a parlay there that we'll take in that matchup. Again, 6 o'clock is the kickoff. That is going to be down at steamy Miami Gardens. So we'll see. Davis, I know you have really enjoyed the hydration breaks here, basically making it four quarters of play on the pitch. Final game tonight in Inglewood at SoFi. It's going to be New Zealand and Iran. Not a good day off the field for Iran yesterday, but we'll see if they can get beat 2 days in a row with New Zealand trying to take it to them here. Both these teams traditionally, Dave, based on research, they're going to play it very, very conservatively. So I would not be surprised if we get another low-scoring game. Final play on the pitch for me tonight, under 2.5, minus $1.70. I think that this is going to be one of those kind of let's get a point each and move forward, knowing that they are in a real tough Group G with Belgium and Egypt, which we'll play earlier today.
No comment on the hydration breaks. Mom taught me, if I don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I did want to ask you very quickly, because we know there's certain teams out there in sports parlance, certainly in sports betting, that are going to be inflated because of who they are in respect to their sport. We know that's going to be the case with Team USA come Friday. They're about $1.65 betting favorite here against Australia. Come back here in the Aussies, plus +450. Think it's going to be a draw, about plus +320 is what we're seeing right now for Friday. How do you handicap, not necessarily the games itself, but the price points that Team USA is going to be set at, when we know, like, say, Thomas Gabe, when we talked to him on Fridays, in New York, Philadelphia, he's going to get that money in that area. We know that's going to be true with the USA in the World Cup.
Yeah, I can understand. And just kind of an early look ahead, that's Australia and the United States. That will be in Seattle, too. So it'll be a fervor up there. Again, remember, Australia with a big upset against Turkey, 2-0. That was not expected for our friends down under to be able to not only win that game, but win it convincingly. So this match, you would anticipate a bit closer. And yes, all the pomp and circumstance around the United States, well warranted for the way they took it. Early look for me would be, and I love unders in soccer, Dave. Like, we're not going to get the Germans, you know, blowing out teams 7-1. I know Sweden took care of Tunisia 5-1 last night, but you usually get, especially early in group play, you get a lot more unders because teams are trying to accumulate points. Once you kind of know what it's going to take for you to qualify to the knockout round, traditionally in that third match, you may see a little bit more open-ended attack because teams will have to take chances. But because the United States and Australia both won, they're not going to get crazy and set themselves up for a defeat where they wouldn't be able to at least take a point each from a draw. Think about that. 4 points each for Australia and the United States. That would allow both teams with a massive upper hand on Turkey and Paraguay. That's it. I mean, your goal differential already is critically in favor. United States up 3, Australia plus 2. So to me, I'd play the conservative route there. And again, haven't locked anything in yet, but my look would be the under 2.5 between the United States and Australia from the Pacific Northwest on Friday.
I love the new pronunciation for Turkey IE instead of just Turkey. Hey, I love it. Like, you just change things up. Just do whatever you want to do, and there's no rules. So we'll get to that match here as the week goes. Let's talk about some American football here, Jensen. Camps are open. We've got our betting guide coming out a week from today. So all of our hosts here will be contributing to that guide for you out there. If you're not a Visa Pro subscriber, you should be by now. I've already got my write-ups in there. I cannot wait to see what everybody else thinks. I've got some real long shots that I do think every year you get some worst to first, that sort of thing here, Jensen. I don't want to tip my hand too much here on a Monday. But when you look ahead to next year, it does feel like Rams are bust right now, at least in the betting market, at plus +550 to win the Super Bowl next year. And conversely, same number for Ohio State in college football at plus +550. Out of those two short numbers, if I made you bet one of those today, which one would you take at the exact same price point?
My heart, if I got to remove my heart here, this kind of screams cross-sport parlay, J-Lew style, doesn't it? Like, I feel like this is finding a top 20 market this week in the United States Open, parlayed with Ohio State to get him to double digits.
Just for
an opportunity to monetize. I think that's, and the same could be said for the Rams. Same way. that we find one of our golfers that we like and get it at a nice conservative price to qualify, even a couple of guys to make the cut, I think that might be the way to kind of cross-sport it to get elevated odds payouts for both those decisions.
Let me redirect, Counselor, on that very point, because you know this Ohio State team. So, yes, it might be hard, but you know this team. And the reason why I might be more apt to go to the Ohio State side, even though the Rams have almost a $5 difference between them and the reigning defendings, is, you know, I kid about this with the bad backs from Matthew Stafford, but I feel like the roster of Ohio State might be more apt to be able to handle injuries, which happened in college too, more so than the one key position in L.A. I mean, Matthew Stafford, everything went perfectly well last year to keep him upright to win MVP. Can you really repeat that? I think you're playing with fire a little bit if you're playing the Rams at the short number. I think I'd rather play Ohio State. I think they're more bulletproof at the same price point than the Rams would be.
I don't blame you. Again, you're going to have Julian Sain, who's going to be one of the top Heisman candidates, along with Dante Moore and Arch Manning and C.J. Carr. You're going to have Jeremiah Smith, who should be the highest non-quarterback. Right now I'm seeing 13-1 for the Heisman Trophy for probably a candidate to be the number one overall draft pick too, when you think about his importance and what he does. I know we're supposed to be getting into a generational quarterback class here, Dave. We've heard that before. I think I'd have to crossboard parlay it, pal. I think I got to find, you got to get me to double digits on Ohio State before I would play that number.
Love it. I had broke some bread with great Wes Reynolds when I was back there in Las Vegas. What did we talk about? Sports. And he does think Indiana, by the way, 8-1 to win the national championship, go back to back. He thinks they're loaded for bear. Again, Kurt Cignetti and the boys. We're going to talk a lot more college football, a lot more NFL every day here as we lead up to the start of the season. We cannot wait for that. When we come back, let's talk about the NBA, what we saw, what we might see at the draft. Zachary Cohen joins the program next. Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Monday edition of the Sim by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We saw the culmination of the Stanley Cup Final come to an end here last night. We saw the end of the NBA season come to a close on Saturday night. And again, I asked you on Friday how many of these series would be extended. We'll be talking about on Monday, and I set the over-under at a half, and you gave out the zero, Jay Lou, and you were right on. Both these things get it done. I wonder if Zach Cohen was happy that the NBA season now is done. I'm sure now all he has to do is prepare for the draft here in about 10 short days. Zach Cohen is our senior editor of VSiN.com, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Give him a follow on X at Betting on X and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Zach, is it an exhale for you now that the Knicks in five is a thing? They can print the shirts in New York, and finally the postseason is over.
Yeah, it is a bit of an exhale. I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to be a Knicks fan. So that was tough to watch, seeing them actually, win the title. And I do root for the Suns now. And just kind of hearing from every single former, friend back in New York and all my family members the entire series, it was wearing on me. So I wanted the season to end as soon as possible. I was telling Bill AD, I got a lot of unsolicited basketball thoughts from like my wife's grandparents. It was just torture. So I wanted it to be over. I wanted to move on to the off season, and here we are. I'm excited about it.
Amazing how many experts there are in the fandom once you get to a certain level of the postseason. No question about it. Okay, we've crowned a champion. Obviously, it will have the Knicks as one of the short shots in the Eastern Conference to be able to get back to the finals. No surprise here, Zach, that we have the Spurs and the Thunder installed as the short favorites overall to win the title. Can I throw two teams at you and get your organic reaction here? The Nuggets at 28-1 on the Western Conference side. I'm sitting here saying, as long as Nikola Jokic is still a member there and they're healthy, I would really like it just for the monetization opportunities should they make it far. Will Hill brought up a very intriguing number. The Charlotte Hornets at 100-1. And we saw how wide open the Eastern Conference was this year. Did Charlotte stub their toe? Certainly they did. But I'll give you those two teams, one in the East, one in the West, and then maybe any other number that really jumps out to you from a way too early futures perspective for the 2027 Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Yeah, so it actually won't be that organic because I wrote up NBA title odds for the website at vsin.com right after that series ended, and two of the four teams I wrote down were the Nuggets and the Hornets. So with Denver, I'm completely with you. I think as long as Nikola Jokic is there and it is prime, they are going to be trying to build a contender around him. I know you kind of hear a lot with this team about trying to avoid the second apron. Sure, they might try to do that, but I do think they're going to try to kind of piece together another winning roster around him. And I kind of think that if they were a little bit healthier this postseason, we might have saw them playing the Knicks in the NBA Finals. I really thought Denver was going to do special things last season, and then another hamstring injury was dealt to Aaron Gordon. So that's kind of the reason their season ended the way it did. I see no reason why they can't be back in contention again in 2026-2027. And the Hornets, we saw that team play some of the best basketball of anybody in the entire NBA from January to the end of the regular season. And of course, it ended in very disappointing fashion with them losing in the play-in tournament. But that team's going to be a year older, have another year of continuity, and they are linked to Domantas Sabonis from the Sacramento Kings. So you might be adding, you know, a borderline all-star at the center position, which was their weakest spot last season. I think Musa Diabate and Ryan Kalkbrenner both gave them really good minutes as kind of energy bigs. But bringing in a player like Sabonis that can score with his back to the basket, knock down some threes, run a lot of offense because he's a great passer, that's somebody that can kind of unlock all of this and take it to another level.
You know, it's interesting, Zach, because you can look back at last year's draft with Dylan Harper and the impact he had on the Spurs this year, right? Maybe people didn't see that on draft day, how important that draft was. When you look at A.J. DiBonza, the presumptive number one pick, minus $5 to be the number one pick here in just about 9 days. Darren Peterson, number two. Cameron Boozer, the third choice. Out of those rookies that you think might be able to impact a team the most next year, look, it took Wemby a couple years to get them to an NBA final, but here they are. Who out of that group do you think really, it might not have to be one of the top three guys, that can be an impact player that we're talking about like a Dylan Harper this time next year?
So I think the top three picks of this draft, DiBonza, Peterson, and Boozer, are all going to be excellent right away. But I do think DiBonza and Peterson are both, if they do go 1-2, if DiBonza goes Washington, Peterson goes Utah, they're both in a position to make the postseason next year. So I'd say Peterson's probably the most likely to be like the Dylan Harper of this season, because I think Utah has a real chance of being one of the better Western Conference teams right away. I think that a lot of people might find that surprising because last season ended the way that it did. But you throw Peterson into a team with, you know, Keontae George, Ace Bailey, Lauri Markkanen, Jaren Jackson Jr., Walker Kessler, that team is really, really loaded. So I expect Utah to be very good next season. And Peterson, I think, is going to be pretty pro ready. So he's the guy that in the playoffs next season, you're going to see him swinging games with his ability to knock down shots. But DiBonza going to the Wizards, that's another team that, like this Jazz team, kind of made, you know, what I called a win later move at the deadline last year in acquiring Trae Young, who didn't really play for them last season. But Trae Young, DiBonza, Anthony Davis, Alex Sarr, this is a team that definitely can make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference as well. So we will see DiBonza in the postseason, I believe, also.
I know as soon as the lottery ended, you were one of the first to talk about a potential trade and what a blockbuster it would be, just knowing the linkage there between Jazz ownership being heavily invested out in Utah. Of course, the BYU connection there. So anxious to see if we get any movement in that regard. On the bigger storyline front with some of the larger names, do you still believe, Zach, that it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when Giannis Antetokounmpo departs Milwaukee? And then I know a lot of people here in Cleveland want to see LeBron come back one more time. I don't know if that's the toughness we're looking for here in Cleveland at this late stage, but I understand why they're doing it. Let me get your takes on two of the biggest offseason superstar names that might be wearing new jerseys come the regular season in October.
Yeah, so I do think it is a matter of when, not if, with Giannis. I did think last week it was going to be the Heat, but it sounds like Milwaukee was just trying to float that out there to get better offers from everyone else. And now all of a sudden you're starting to hear Boston as a potential name for Giannis. So I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that happen in the next day or two. I do think that you always kind of have these trades done and ready to go after the NBA finals, so the NBA can kind of stay in the news cycle, and wouldn't be surprised if we see, if we hear that very, very soon. So I'm going to be recording Hardwood Handicappers right after this. Hopefully it doesn't happen during the show, but I am ready to go for like an emergency pod for whenever Giannis does get dealt. But I do think that there is some bad blood between Jaylen Brown and the Celtics because of some of the comments we heard Jaylen Brown make after last season. He said, you know, it was the most fun he's ever had playing basketball last season, which is a season he played without Jason Tatum. So it does seem like he would like to be the number one guy unquestioned on another team. And I feel like if you could kind of please him while also getting Giannis, it's a win-win. So I do think Boston's really interesting here. I'm just really kind of looking forward to seeing who the third team is in that deal, because Jaylen Brown to either Atlanta or Portland is very, very interesting.
Zach, I want to ask you, somebody hosting the Hardwood Handicappers here in the network who is immersed in basketball 24/7 versus what my perception is of it, because I asked you a couple of weeks ago, it felt like we were talking about tanking and flopping, right? And then all of a sudden, just a couple short weeks later, it feels like the NBA got a real boon with Wemby and the Knicks in the finals, and all of a sudden it feels like they're on an upswing again. This offseason, you mentioned with Giannis, we'll find out about LeBron, some of the bigger names that might be on the move. How do they carry that momentum that they just got with this NBA final into next year? And we talk about in the NFL all the time, the rules committee and some of the changes they make and how important that really is to framework the league coming forward. What do you think the NBA has to do to kind of capitalize in this newfound momentum?
Well, I am one of the people that always says that, like, on any given NBA slate, even during the regular season, you do usually get one or two very, very good games. So there's always something really good to watch. It's just a matter of consistency up and down the board. I'm hoping that the new tanking rules that they just put in place will work. My fear with these new rules is that they're going to work for the next 3 years, because the next three drafts are not expected to be as good as the one that we have this year. So tanking won't be at front of mind for all of these organizations. But I do think that in the future, there could be some problems. But I do think that this is going to be at least a small help in the near future. Like, if you're at the bottom of the league now, it hurts you to finish at the bottom of the league. So that does, you know, add incentive to win games late in the year. But I do just think, like, consistency with calling fouls would help. I'd like to see a little bit shorter of a whistle. Longer of a whistle. I want less fouls called. So I think the playoff basketball, the physicality of it, is, you know, what makes it so special, and just would like to see that more a little bit during the regular season. I think the solution for all of that is cutting down on the amount of games in the regular season. Don't think that they'll ever do that because money's involved there, but 66 really feels like the sweet spot.
Love it. Last 10 seconds with you. Love Island handicap right now. What do you like? Who do you see? Can you stand it with all the ridiculousness?
Oh, man. First of all, the handicap, over under like 13 and a half more episodes for me. I've been having a horrible time watching. Love Island USA has just been awful for me. We're watching UK at the same time. I think there's a much better chance we finish UK than USA. It's gotten so bad.
Get in on House of the Dragon. We can have weekly recaps of that, Zach, if you're looking for a better show. Okay, great stuff. We appreciate it all year, Zach, and I'm sure we'll talk much more about it with the NBA draft coming up here in very, very short order. It's VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Moving right along on a Monday morning, VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Great conversation with Zachary Cohen in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. We would appreciate that. You can listen to those conversations on your time. Lots of baseball to get to, not just MLB, but let's catch up on the College World Series in Omaha. That's next right now here on this edition of the Daily Diamond. Strike up the organ, Jensen, out there in Omaha. I've seen the jello shots out there. The tally continues there. Carolina's still the betting favorite. Odds on here. But what do you make so far of what you've seen here over the weekend in Omaha?
Well, it's a big win last night. Carolina taking down West Virginia 5-2. That puts them in the catbird seat on the upper part of the bracket, or the left side, however you want to look at it. They are now 2-0 by virtue of that win there. That forces West Virginia to the elimination game after Troy dispatched of Ole Miss. And so that will be tomorrow afternoon between the Mountaineers and the Trojans. As you look at today's action, we'll have Alabama and Texas in the early game. That's an elimination game. And then the 1-0 game will be Oklahoma and Georgia. And if you did jump on the Sooners before the tournament, as I advocated for a value selection, you're in a great spot to potentially monetize right there if they find a way into that 2-0 winner's bracket portion. As we sit here with the odds, I'm not really keen on adding anything right now. I think that Georgia's got to stay in the winner's bracket because I don't think they have as deep a pitching staff to be able to come out of a loser's bracket scenario. However, if you are looking at North Carolina's the odds on, I do agree with that. I wrote up North Carolina at 15-1 with our great colleague at VSiN.com, Aaron Moore, before the tournament started as one of those value selections to be able to win the College World Series. Of course, that is looking really, really solid right now. So as it stands today, we're going to take a look at a couple of options here. Alabama needs to get Justin LeBron going, one of their studs and one of the best players in baseball. Texas, for them, I would think some early offense from Aiden Robbins and Carson Tinney, the 1 and 2 hitters respectively in their lineup. I would lean towards Texas here on the money line if you're looking to play it. I will check and see where some of the weather is as far as the wind blowing out. Last I saw that both games look to have the wind blowing out. So if you're playing totals, overs would be a way to go here. But I think Texas, the spot for me in the early elimination game. Looking towards Oklahoma and Georgia, I would say that Georgia again would be the side here. Offensively, their power surge has been really good, and so far so good, at least in one game, translating from what we usually see in Foley Field here to a more spacious Charles Schwab Field. So can the Sooners keep the Bulldogs in the yard? If they can, then Oklahoma has a shot tonight, but I think I still would go with Texas and Georgia on the money lines. I'll check the totals. If there is anything advantageous, I will put that as an official pick for VSiN Pro subscribers. But that is my lean right now, Dave, for the two games that will take place later on today.
Let me get your feelings on Almost Heaven, West Virginia. They have dipped now to 18-1 in the marketplace here from about plus 750 last week. Not entirely cooked here for Almost Heaven. Did they have a pathway, Jensen, that you see realistically? Like, if nobody has jumped in yet on the Mountaineers, is there some play there to be made?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could, certainly. And I would believe that Steve Saban's crew and knowing their pitching depth, it keeps them in a pretty good spot. You still get the off day today. But now how the tournament shakes up, Dave, you're going to have to play consecutive days here to try and get out of the loser's bracket once you do that. And so North Carolina in the catbird seat because they have pretty much all of their pitching weapons that will be rested and available. Just remember, I believe it is 29 of the last 35 national champions, Dave, have come from being in that 2-0 catbird seat. So in a futures perspective here, if you're looking on the other side of the bracket, Oklahoma at 10-1, if you do feel that they can defeat Georgia today, that's the only actionable wager at the moment that I would advocate for, just knowing that that is a significant trend in the Men's College World Series, Dave. 29 of the last 35 national champions have come from being in that 2-0 spot after the first two respective games that they've played.
We'll get into some of your best bets here on the diamond coming up in the next segment. But I want to do kind of another overview here as we're in the middle of June now. And we'll get to the All-Star break here in pretty short order. It'll come up before you know it. And then we'll have the trade deadline here in the first week of August. So time starts to go out in the sand and the hourglass here for certain teams out there in Major League Baseball. I mentioned earlier in the show, I thought it was a good week, obviously, weekend for the Yankees in the AL East. They're still obviously big favorites to win the AL East. Once they get Aaron Judge back, and I know you've got a big ticket now on the Yankees, to win the American League in conjunction with the Knicks. Do you think they still are? And can we just expect Judge, when he comes back, to be the same guy, the favorites to win the pennant in the American League?
I because of where their pitching resources are, and again, we can have this conversation at the All-Star break, because I think that will lend us more clarity as to what those acquisitions potentially are at the trade deadline. If I'm looking at, you know, I still believe the Mariners are the best team. I still feel that my 5-1 on the Mariners to win the American League is live. I did not expect it to be a 4-team race in the West. The Mariners, Athletics, Rangers, and Astros beginning play today are only separated by 4 games in the division. And if you look just overall at the league, if we were to start the postseason today, Dave, you have the Yankees and the White Sox getting the byes in the American League. Now, that is a significant development, because we always talk about, when you look at having to play the extra series in the wild card round, you have to expend much more pitching to get through, unless you sweep. And even then, you know, you're still having probably your number 3 starter lined up for a game 1 of a division series. And then in game 2, maybe, just maybe, you can get your ace back for that game 2, but in all likelihood, not available until game 3 back at your home ballpark. If we're handicapping the American League right now, and I mentioned it earlier for people just joining us, the injury for the Cleveland Guardians with Jose Ramirez is monumental. They have basically their heart and soul on the shelf for at least 6 weeks. And it's not just, even if he's coming back on an aggressive timetable, Dave, hamate bone injuries sap the power that you have as a hitter. And it's going to take time. They don't really have another guy that drives in runs with the authority and the consistency on their roster right now, the way that Jose Ramirez does. They are in deep trouble, especially if Chase DeLauder may be out for multiple weeks. He had exited with a side issue. They're calling it a bruise, waiting for more imaging results to come back. And maybe we get an update on that today. But I can't, in good faith, back the Guardians at any future price right now, knowing that for 6 weeks, you got to try and tread water already at a -3 run differential when you had Jose Ramirez. Where's the offense? I don't see it. I don't know about you, but they are eliminated in my idea, in my mind, of any advocacy for future prices, no matter if it's make the playoffs, wild card, or divisional futures right now.
There's one team in the National League that I cannot get a read on. I know we've got about 90 seconds to go in this segment. I don't know if that's enough time to amply break down the Chicago Cubs, but they feel like the ultimate Jekyll and Hyde team so far here through 2.5 months of the baseball season. Jensen, they've drifted in the marketplace a little bit. About 13-1 I'm seeing to win the pennant, 25-1 to win the World Series here. It feels like the Brewers have really hopped ahead of them in the betting market. Where are you on the Cubs right now, big picture?
Well, Mitch, I told you the starting pitching injuries, we're going to test them. It was Cade Horton first, then Matthew Boyd with the knee surgery. And it was such a weird injury playing with his kids. Still waiting for Justin Steele to get back here. And now Jameson Taillon with a strained hamstring just about a week ago. They have really been depleted. I told you that was the pin that I wanted to put in the Cubs evaluation. Let's see how they handle it. It has been rough. And then even more so, they're 27th in rotation ERA right now, Dave. They field it as well as anybody. Their defensive runs saved, second in baseball, but you got to get quality starting pitching. And right now, the way they are, 7.5 back in the Central, they're going to need a hell of a finish in this first half to be viable, even in the division race.
Yeah, look at the Phillies on the first page of the board now at +$7 to win the pennant. Think about their start to the season. And the Cubs were the direct opposite of the year, and they're down to 13-1. How times have changed in Philly and the north side of Chicago. You are listening right now to VSiN. It is the Sports Betting Network. We're back with more By the Books in a moment.
Tuned in VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Football season may be months away, but the best bettors are already preparing for it. You better believe that. Next week, we're going to release our NFL betting guide. It's packed with everything you need to attack the futures market, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season. Lock in the early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get that guide when it drops next week. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get out of it with full access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. So, Jensen, that is a week from today. That betting guide will be out. And this is why we do what we do, right? I mean, we do a lot of futures market talk on this program because we're trying to get you the best numbers well ahead of the game before those numbers flip. And starting to hear some of the experts that we have in the network might move some of those markets. You've got some today in Major League Baseball. But before we get to that, World Cup. I thought early in the program you had some good breakdowns on what you might see in the World Cup today, Jensen. Just for those VSiN Pro subscribers, what do you like today in the pitch?
Yeah, Cape Verde at an alternate, at least a goal line of plus 3.5. And again, got that boosted on DraftKings with the daily boost to minus $1.22. Again, just for the refresher, there are going to be third place qualifiers out of group play, and a lot of that predicated off of goal differential. So you'll see some of these heavy favorites that should win without question, but it is a matter of margin. And will Cape Verde just kind of pack it in to keep this only a two-goal defeat, if not more than a three-goal defeat? And that's kind of where my thought process went was, yes, they've got a tall hill to climb to even stay competitive in this one, let alone try and pull what it would be the ultimate upset so far in the tournament, if not ever. But I think plus 3.5, at an alternate goal spread is where I'm going there today. Just running down the other plays, I have Belgium, the Red Devils, minus $1.70 against Egypt. This is going to be a high-quality match and one that will have a lot of tactical intrigue. Will Belgium, as one of the dark horses in not only this tournament, but also in this group, if you look at, you know, where they are in Group G, it's Belgium, Egypt, Iran and New Zealand, they will all be in action today. I do think Belgium is the class of the group. I think they should get it done. And for what it's worth, I think this is their toughest opponent that they will face in group play. So I'll take them on the money line, minus $1.70. Uruguay is a team that Brian Dunseth, who joined us last week, they get underway in Group H, same as Spain and Cape Verde. Uruguay take on Saudi Arabia. This one, I think Uruguay, they are almost a 220. A money line favorite right now, but I am going to parlay them with an alternate total for the game at over 1.5. That gets you to minus $1.20 on DraftKings. This is a group that Brian Dunseth had highlighted as a not only a large long shot, but one that could create some chaos. And I think they will look to try and not only win it, but win it convincingly. Again, that goal differential going to come in very heavily, looking to qualify for the knockout round. And then Iran and New Zealand, just think they're going to try and at least get points here, knowing that they still have Spain on the horizon. I think they also understand too, they have Belgium on the horizon and Egypt, who will present some problems for those teams. Would not surprise me if they kind of keep it conservative. They both get a point with a draw, but I do think under 2.5, the way I will go later on tonight between Iran and the Kiwis.
We're going to have some great guests this week to get us ready for the United States Open at Shinnecock Hills starting on Thursday morning. Earlier in the program, I gave out some things you should look for that first round coming up on Thursday. And a couple of things, the golfers I want to identify this week, certainly guys that are mentally tough because it's going to be a grind out there. We know it's United States Open. This is the way the USGA sets up these golf courses every year. They're not going to be easy. They're not going to be birdie fest. You've got to have the right mental approach before you get in there. That goes with number 3, the bogey avoidance. If you're mentally tough and you make bogeys, you can live with that. Bogey sometimes going to feel like a par at a U.S. Open. Par sometimes going to feel like a birdie at a U.S. Open. So that mental approach with bogey avoidance, those are the golfers I want to look at. Number 2, Thursday weather draws. And Jensen, you're learning more about me. One of the things you might not know is I always fantasized about being a weather person back in my D.C. days and always kidded my D.C. weathermen and women that I thought they had a pretty easy job, right? Because you're wrong 50% of the time, and then you're still okay. We saw it last night at the UFC. Oh, we're going to get to all this terrible weather. It's going to come in. They got to cancel the event. It was beautiful. Went off without a hitch, as we saw last night. How about this for Thursday? Highs around 75. That's great. Early morning rain coming in the forecast on Thursday. Possible thunder showers. What that does, softens up the greens. It might be a little bit easier for the afternoon wave. So know that with your Thursday weather draws. But Friday, Jensen, 81, sunny interval, so it sounds wonderful. Here's the catch, people. Winds predicted to be brutally tough, projecting gusts of 35 miles an hour on Friday. Check the weather draws. Your golfers, before you make those bets, see when they're teeing off on Thursday and conversely when they're going off on Friday. You do not want to be playing in the majority of those high winds projected at 35 miles an hour. So once the tee times come out later on this week, that's what you should be looking for, people, before you make those bets. And we'll break that down every step of the way here on VSiN by the Books. But again, check that weather forecast. It's going to be dicey at best come Friday on an already brutally tough golf course as it is. Jensen, you've got some picks in Major League Baseball as well for VSiN Pro subscribers. What do you have today on the docket?
Yeah, Tigers Astros over 8. So let's start there. Houston 21-13-1 to the over as a home team, which they are tonight. 8-4 as a home favorite, which they also are tonight. So we'll play an alternate over 8 minus $1.46. It is Zach Wheeler Day in Philadelphia. They are taking on the Marlins. 19-14, the Phillies are as a home favorite. Miami 9-13 as a road dog. We're going to play the alternate run line minus 1 at minus $1.60. I don't want to lay almost $2.10 on the money line for the Phillies, so we'll take Philadelphia at minus 1 at a little more affordable cost. Mentioned the Reds and the Mets earlier. Great pitching matchup tonight. And Chase Burns, how about 5 straight home games started, allowing 2 runs or fewer. Do like the under 8.5, minus $1.16 between the Mets and the Reds tonight. Mets also 22-12-1 to the under as a road team. So I think we get run suppression. Oddly enough, at Great American Ballpark tonight, that number down to 8 at Circa. So I like our spot there on Novig under 8.5, minus $1.16. A couple of early NBA futures to throw at you, Dave, and it was great visiting with Will Hill earlier today. I loved his idea, as well as Zach Cohen, too, talking about the Hornets in the Eastern Conference. I did have a $100 bonus bet on DraftKings. I put that on the Hornets at 100-1. So 100 to win 10 grand moving forward. Long way to go. But I also like the Nuggets. Found them at a better price, Dave, at 30-1 to win the title at Hard Rock for those in those jurisdictions that have it available to you. So again, shop around. Yes, the way too early NBA finals prices here, but those were two numbers that I couldn't pass up.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to play a number. That's what you do. I'll do it. I did it in hockey last year. Didn't work out this year. But again, you're playing the numbers and projecting, as we mentioned here. Giannis Antetokounmpo feels like he's on the move. I wonder where that Celtics number goes if that news comes out, say, pre-draft, post-draft, whenever, if that does become official. Because it feels like it's just a matter of time right now. It's 6-1. Jensen, where do you think that number goes, theoretically, if they do land the Greek Freak?
No idea. And it probably doesn't matter until we kind of see what the rest of the topography of the Eastern Conference looks like there. So again, you know, a unique situation too, where if you just look at the odds, it feels like yet again, you're going to have to go through the Spurs or the Thunder on the Western Conference side way, 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 way too early. Let's see what happens in the draft. Let's see what happens in free agency and we'll go from there.
We are going to have a lot of U.S. Open talk this week. Tomorrow, we're going to give you our no-fly zone, 3 golfers that we do not recommend having on your card. So we'll get to that in earnest. And again, World Cup, we're getting oh so close Friday. They're going to take on Australia, Team USA, with their second match. Then they're going to come back next Thursday, Jensen. So we know we've got 2 games here to get ready for Team USA here in the next week and a half. Now, we do have a lot more to get to here. And again, if you want more VSiN, we always appreciate that. If you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, all you have to do is go over to VSiN.com and the VSiN Watch app. And a big show coming up here on A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin. They're going to talk a lot more World Cup as well. Greg Peterson's going to be on the program with his best bets. And an old friend of the show, Dalen Cuff, is going to be, Dalen Cuff, brother, is going to be back in the program here talking World Cup as well. So a reminder there, at 1 p.m., you've got Nick Whalen going to break down prop points. And, of course, Stormy Bonatoni, Dustin Sweetelson in the chair today for Money Moves. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.